Hi, everybody. I'm Matt.
I'm Shirley.
I'm John.
And welcome to the Nerds Domain Podcast. This week, we're going to talk about what we're doing in our lives. It's geeky and fun. Because you guys care. That's what a What You Doin' podcast is all about, and that's what we're recording today. This week, we're here at HoosierCon here in Indianapolis. It's kind of a small gaming convention, 300 or 400 people. Not super big, but it's given us a lot of opportunity to experience some new stuff, new games. So, we're going to talk about what we're doing. Probably a lot of game talk, but that's just because that's what we've been experiencing today. And we'll start off with, what did we play today, guys?
Tsuro of the Seas.
Tsuro of the Seas. Is it T-S-U-R-O?
T-U-R-O.
T-S-U-R-O.
Yeah, something or other.
Who's that put out by?
Calipi? Calipi? It's C-A-L-L-I-P-E or something like that.
Okay.
Calipi. I'll try looking it up.
Do you know what else they make? Like Tsuro.
Tsuro of the Seas. The first one.
So tell us about Tsuro of the Seas.
It kind of has a very, I was going to say Mahjong, but it's not Mahjong. It's like a puzzle, and you have these routes. It's a board game. You have these routes of tiles that you can pick up, and you have a ship, and you start at the edge of the boards, and on the board, depending on dice rolls, you put tiles of monsters down.
Sea monsters or dragons.
Sea monsters or dragons.
Daikaijus? Yeah, I'm not sure what that's Japanese for, but yeah, probably sea monsters.
So, you put the monsters down, you pick out your boat, you put it on the edge where you want to start, you pick out your tiles, and then you start laying your tiles down on the route that you would like to go. One, trying not to run into a sea monster. Two, trying not to run off the edge of the board. And three, trying to avoid the sea monsters getting you.
Also, you can't run into each other.
Yes. Other players. Other players.
So
edge of the board.
In the game, you can't actively play on somebody else unless you're going to attach to you as well.
You always have to play on your own route.
Yeah, you have to play in your own route. So if you get to a route where it matches up and you play and it screws the other person, that's fine. But I don't think today when we played that, nobody ran into each other.
We didn't have time. Dragons killed us.
Yeah, the silly sea monsters got us.
I committed suicide.
Yeah, Shirley. Stupid Shirley tiles. Shirley ran into tiles that she couldn't go anywhere but off the board. So. All right, what else did we... What else did, oh,
I don't
oh,
know.
We
I
played
just...
PvP... the card game Rumble in Ryle.
The second expansion.
It's a Cthulhu thing.
Yeah.
with the two new bosses that we hadn't played with, Cthulhu and...
Tycho's grandmother.
Tycho's grandmother, who had awesome boss loots like Man Candy.
No, Grandma's Man Candy.
And Mysterious Treats. I had that one. That was kind of cool.
Zoinks.
Yeah, and I once again lost. I've yet to win that game.
We did have some bromance. It's one of the cards in the game, and
I'm the only one that got the high five though.
I got one. Yeah. I had a bunch of kids.
I got to play it twice.
So with bromance, when you play it, you high five another player, and both those players draw cards. I had kittens.
A lot.
I had a lot of kittens.
You always have kittens anyway.
Yeah. So we played that. I really liked. I think all three of us really liked the PvP.
Oh yeah. Well, we
or
played
not,
the
Penny Arcade, not PvP.
Penny Arcade
card game. It's a deck building game. It's like 2 to 4 or 5 players.
It said
4. 2 to 4. It. 2 to 4 players.
4 to 8.
2 to 4.
Okay.
If it was 4 to 8, there's only 3 of us.
Maybe that was a different game.
So it's 2 to 4 players, and we...
Tsuro was 2 to 8.
Yeah, we played through that, and that was fun. So what else did we play?
I can't remember the name of that game. The Starship game.
Colonial Battlefleet.
That's it. That was the name of the game.
It was Colonial Battlefleet is a miniatures tactical game.
For spaceships.
Yeah.
That the guy that ran it had skinned everything for Star Trek, because we all love Star Trek.
But the general rules are generic. You can play literally any... You have rules, and you buy ships.
You design your ships.
You design your ships, spending points.
And,
go from there. So you can have a battle cruiser with awesome weapons if you invest the points. And...
Yeah.
You've probably seen other games like that, Warhammer. You invest.
Kinda works, yeah.
I mean, you don't get to design your own figure. your own characters in Warhammer.
Yeah.
You have to buy them. This one allows you to build them from the ground up and then play
design
them.
Design your own figures. Yeah, I like the concept of the game. If we purchase it or, you know,
we're purchasing
it. Yeah, I think we're purchasing it. And the great thing is any spaceship miniatures work because it's generic, so we could skin it however we want.
Right.
So we could play Cylons versus X-Wing versus...
Why are we drawing a blank on space things right now?
Yeah, I know.
That's ridiculous.
Battlestar Galactica. I didn't want to go Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Wow.
Okay, here's one of my nerd cards. I'm turning it in.
Crap.
I can't think of stuff.
But it was really fun, and I think the generic aspect of it, and I don't mean generic in a bad way, I mean the generic kind of cookie cutter thing where you just fill in what you want.
Yeah, buy what you want, play with what you want.
And he did reskin some stuff, so he turned some power or some attacks into like something different. So he had antimatter torpedoes that he turned to photon torpedoes.
Yeah.
Just so that they
use the rules from the book, the name from the show. All it was.
And that was kinda cool. So I'm gonna wait for Gen Con before I get too into it because they have all the miniatures there and we can buy piecemeal and
that'll be where we buy the figures. But
it looks like it has a potential for a lot of fun.
Yes.
What else did we play? We went and got a game out of the thing.
We got Suro, and then we borrowed.
That's right.
We played Penny Sentinels Arcade of the Multiverse, which, twice. Matt and I played twice. Shirley had to go lay down. And it was a long day. I'm not dissing you. But anyway, there's a review of Sentinels of the Multiverse up on the website. Nerdsdom.com. So you can go check that out if you want to see pictures. But that was a fun superhero card game. Each superhero has a deck of cards that are powers, and you know, it's a very simple game. It's play super, a card, use a power, draw a card, end of turn.
And it's super cooperative, so like if I have something I want to do and Johnny has something he wants to do, we can confer about it so that it works best. And the second game we played, we both made the mistake of saying, make our characters as complex as possible. And mine was all
kinds of complex.
And complex, and Johnny had to have stuff to do other stuff to make sense of doing anything, and it was fun.
It was good. It's a good game.
It's a really good game.
It's a really good game.
Yeah.
It's a GM-less game, meaning no one has to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
The bad guy plays... There are a lot of villains in the base set. You get four.
Four, if I remember correctly. You get four, and then four in each expansion so far.
Yeah, so each villain has its own deck and rules on how to use it.
Yeah.
And each villain has its own feel. They do rip off a lot of tropes from Marvel and DC, but they didn't want to pay for the license, so whatever. Oh,
tropes. They do it lovingly, too. It's not like they're doing it in like
mocking fashion. It's a serious game, but there is a character that is basically Superman.
Yeah.
There's a character that's Iceman or Mr. Freeze, depending on how you want to spin it. A fire guy, so... Human Torch is represented.
And the game also runs itself on an environment, so you have different environments to go with mix as well as different villains, and they don't have to match.
Yeah, there's an environment
that's
deck
one of
and
the
a villain
things
deck.
That confused me a little bit. When he started pulling out the environments, I understand the raptors, they were bad for us, but then whatever he pulled out before
worked in our favor.
I thought it worked in our favor, but then when the bad guy attacked, he also got the +1 to damage.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and the
and
environment
I was like, dude,
is
we need to just get rid of both of those, even though we're getting the +1.
We found out that the environment is neutral.
It is the story.
it's where you're at. So like the first time we played, I don't remember the name of the place, but it was essentially this
Savage world
where dinosaurs still existed and
volcanoes went off
volcanoes
every 15
went off.
Minutes.
Oh, yeah.
So we were playing there and fighting the Blade Master, the Blade Baron,
Blade Baron.
And so we fought him, and he was like a level 1 villain. And he was doing damage.
His master
to us.
Plan was to crash the moon into the earth.
Yeah, and he was doing damage to us, and we were fighting against him. It was really kind of fun. And the second one we fought El Capitan.
I think it was L. It was either La or L.
It was a lady pirate, and she was also a time pirate, and we fought in the fabled land of Atlantis, where we kept going into leaky rooms for some reason. Yeah.
And then we had a Kraken.
Yeah,
the Kraken. Which actually was really fun because the Kraken attacked the person with the lowest health, and the captain used minions out of her deck. So sometimes the Kraken would eat the minions.
Yeah,
and that worked out very well.
I almost died to the Kraken. So that was kind of, yeah, so Sentinels was a lot of fun. I think it's something we need to pick up for sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely interested.
All right, so what are you guys reading anything right now? Well, it's kind of away from games for at least a little bit. Are you guys reading anything right now, Shirley? Still working on book four?
Yeah, I'm still stuck on book 4, Wheel of Time, and...
Get on it.
I know, I'll go through these phases where I'll read and read and I'm interested, and then squirrel. You know, something else will catch my attention. And the thing is, I'll read like one or two books at a time, and I'm reading a couple like spiritual books right now, so nothing that has to do with gaming.
No, it doesn't have to be, just anything. Anything you want to share? It doesn't have to do with gaming. Johnny, are you reading anything?
Well, actually, I am. I'm kind of breezing through every now and then a bunch of collections of short stories, which oddly enough are all public domain stories.
Anything specific?
Well, the original Grimm fairy tales. I've never read many of the. I've heard about them, you know. That the,
oh, you're getting those all the gruesome all on the candle, aren't you?
No, actually, my aunt bought me a.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Barnes and Noble's gift card the day after Matt bequeathed me his old Kindle, which sucked because I had told her, and I knew I was getting the Kindle, so I asked for an Amazon gift card. Of course, she buys me the Barnes & Noble's gift card, meaning I can't use the Amazon, you know, I can't get stuff on the Kindle. But anyway, I went to Barnes & Noble's just to look and see what they had before I went in for my surgery, and got, you know, like I said, there were some original Grimm fairy tales with all the blood and guts and murder. As it was originally intended. Then there is a ghost story book, Ghost Stories for the Campfire, which actually sucks. Not scary at all.
Sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but today in the game library,
yeah.
Speaking of campfire stories, they have the Goosebumps board game.
Wow.
I almost got it to see how bad it was.
Yeah.
Like Captain Planet that we have yet to play because we don't have rules.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Gotta look for those online.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that was in the thing. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right. So let's see. Grimm's Fairy Tales, stupid ghost stories that aren't scary. And then the last book I got is actually the one I was most interested in reading, but I'm getting the least into. Is original steampunk science fiction. The stories were all written in the early 1900s when steampunk was the thing that science fiction writers wrote about. They didn't, you know, there are a few computers, but the idea of electronics and positronic networks and interconnected computers just didn't happen. So there's a lot of crazy stuff out there in this book, and it's kind of interesting, but then it's 1900s literature, so the writing is kind of slow and just plotty. It's a different time period, so I can't say it's bad. It's a different time.
So, what was the name of the books?
Steampunk was literally the name of the book.
It's part of the reason I love Lovecraft and his stuff, but it's so hard to get through some of his books because they're so verbose.
Yeah,
what they're describing, and I'm like, okay, I get it. It's dark, it's scary, it's creepy.
There's a guy on Twitter that I follow called the Angry DM, and he just went on a rant about that. He talks about D&D stuff, role playing games. His group plays Pathfinder, but he was trying to read. He was trying to read Lovecraft, and he just kept going on about how every third story had an undescribable horror, and he's like, "Well, if it's undescribable, your story kind of sucks."
Yeah,
because it's not about anything that you can describe to me.
Yeah,
with words, and it was funny. But yeah, the Lovecraft is just a different time period.
Yeah.
So definitely. It takes a bit to wrap your head around.
Well, I have been, I've been steeped in very high-minded writing lately. Marvel Comics released 700 number one issues for Comixology. Like, for everybody. Everybody could hypothetically download 700 issues. Unfortunately, it crashed their service. It was like a three-day thing. I ended up with like 200 that I got. And I really don't want much more than that. There are a few I missed that I really would like to go back. But I read like Wolverine and Jubilee. Do you know Jubilee got turned into a vampire?
No. What?
So I don't know if you guys are familiar with X-Men, but I'll talk to you about it real quick. Just because it was a cartoon for a while, and it's part of the really solid pop culture. So Jubilee had these explosive pyrotechnic powers. Then all of the mutants disappeared in the comic books because Scarlet Witch made them all go away.
This was after House of M?
Yeah, this was the result of House of M. There were 198 mutants left everywhere.
Right.
Jubilee lost her powers. And she was kind of coping with that. And then Dracula started a terrorist war in San Francisco and exploded. A vampire exploded, and blood from that vampire got into Jubilee's mouth, turning her into a vampire. So wow. Wolverine and Jubilee is about Jubilee learning how to deal with it and her relationship with Wolverine and how they're doing it. The first issue, I'm not going to say it was the greatest writing ever.
No, because clearly it wasn't. The story is really out there.
Well, but this is the follow-up. Like, this is months after this storyline. So she's dealing with her vampirism by having Wolverine's blood transfused into her so it doesn't cause her to be hurt by the sun because she's regenerating immediately.
Oh, wow.
So there's some concepts there that are interesting, at least. I don't know if they're good, but they're interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, so the first issue of this was really kind of cool. I read...
Do you remember who wrote it or drew it? You can look it up.
I'm going to look it up real quick. Okay,
But see, the thing that's kind of got me interested is this is a thing that Marvel does every so often.
Well, and it was X-Men Volume 3, Issue 1. Curse of the Mutants is the name of the storyline that turned them into vampires.
Okay.
So that was kind of, that thing.
Well, it's continuing a grand tradition of Dracula coming out and, and turning various mutant characters into vampires.
Well, and they address that Storm has a relationship with Dracula.
Yeah.
Like a previous whatever.
Did they talk about Generation X? Because there is an annual of Generation X where he turns all the members of Generation X into vampires, except for Husk, because every time he bites her, she just changes forms and slogs off the skin and becomes something else.
I didn't see that, but there aren't any members of Generation X left.
Well, I don't know about that.
So it's written by Catherine Immonen, art by Phil Noto, which I like Phil's art. I mean,
is the cover artist same as the interior?
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
That's not
bad. It's solid art. Yeah. Again, it's not the best. Wolverine looks old as crap, but Wolverine's old as crap. The writing isn't great, but it's not bad. It's pretty solid.
Well, the thing that got me about the Generation X one is Chamber got turned into a vampire.
Okay, so from my perspective, I'm not really into comics at all. Why is Dracula even in?
Because in the 1970s. I do not profess to be a historian on anything comic books. I know a little bit about the X-Men specifically and a couple other things. But in, I think, the 60s and 70s...
Before the Comic Code Authority came into play, horror comics were a huge thing.
And then Dracula was licensed by Universal.
Yeah, for the
film.
To
Marvel to use... And then because they wrote him into stories, they used him as part of the, you said it earlier, the open license.
Yeah.
It's the Marvel's version of Dracula.
Yeah.
It's Marvel's spin on it.
It depends on which writer is in charge.
Yeah.
And that's somewhere between Bram Stoker's and the Universal, blah, I want to suck your blood kind of guy.
So,
The writers just take all the liberties they want. He's always an old vampire. And
Blade. You like Blade, the movies?
Yeah.
That's Marvel comic.
Yeah.
In fact, the next issue in this storyline is a Blade #1.
Really?
To follow with the storyline, which I have no problem with. Makes sense. If you're going to bring up vampires in Marvel, you take a character that's known and you bring it in.
So Blade's going to hunt down all the mutants that are vampires.
Might happen. Who knows?
So is that current, like, number one?
That Curse of the Mutants happened pre-schism, pre-utopia.
Uh-huh.
So we're, so like, three, over. 4 years behind. But yeah. It was free.
It was free. Anyway, yeah. But Chamber is a character who... Well, the Generation X story just... I forget how it ended. Husk was the only one alive. Chamber is a character who is composed of psionic energy. Mental energy is what he is.
And he's so full of it, it literally blew off half his face and most of his
And most of his, abdomen is gone.
Yeah.
So Dracula bites him, turns him into a vampire. Suddenly he has a face again. Healing vampire powers. Okay, fine. Except he doesn't have a circulatory system for there to be blood to drain because his heart is gone. And then somehow at the end of it, Husk beats Dracula and everybody turns back to normal and the world
is gone. I got this. Mystical vampire powers.
Well, obviously. But
so I've been reading some comics. I'm still working my way through the sixth book of The Wheel of Time, mostly because I've been distracted by comics. And also, my normal reading time daily is at lunch, or is on lunch at work. We have Wi-Fi at work, and I have Hulu on my iPad. Community. You know what? Go watch Community and then huff at me because it's
I like the show well enough. I'm not a huge fan of it.
I was halfway through the second season. I'm almost done with the third, and I'll probably stop after I finish up what's out for the fourth. But
well, the reason I'm huffing at them is because I'm a huge fan of the Wheel of Time series, as you probably heard from the first podcast, and I would like them to catch up and finish because, damn, that's a good series.
And what Johnny forgets is he has like a 15-year head start.
Is it? Yeah. Well,
97,
yeah.
So, yeah. So,
well, the book has been... The series started in 91.
Yeah, so and he has a 15-year head start.
The same year as Game of Thrones, by the way.
I started April or May, and I'm on book six.
Well, yeah, but I've read...
About the same time.
But I read the books as they... I caught up to where they were and then read the books within a week of release. I've read some of them three times.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what we're reading. You guys are using any new apps now?
No.
Oh, I found an awesome app. Oh, that figures. Google Drive finally downloaded.
Space?
I was going to get to that. I found Steambirds in high definition. It's an aerial combat game, but it's turn-based. It's a lot of fun. I had it for my phone. I still have it for my phone. But it's not the HD version, and that one's a totally different like play style. Or it's the same play style, but a totally different storyline and how you get planes and what missions you're on. This one's a little more linear on its missions. Still really good and fun. It's kind of hard.
Space Team?
Yeah, no, that's Steambirds. Space Team's a different game. Yes, it is Space Team. Space Team is the other game that we've been playing, and it requires two people with iOS devices. You have to have two people with iOS devices. You are given a command that you may or may not have the panel for.
So your iDevice becomes a Starship panel.
Yes. With weird things like flip the Whopper Tinkle or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're given a command. And then if you don't have the panel, your people you're playing with, I think up to four, they have the panel. And you have to tell them. However, they also have a command that they're telling other people to flip as well. And if you play with four people, everybody has a command and everybody's trying to get it done right away.
Yeah.
So you have four people screaming at each other.
Sometimes it requires all four people to do the exact same thing in a certain amount of time. Like, if you're going to get hit by an asteroid, you all have to shake your device. If you don't all shake your device in a certain amount of time, you get hit by an asteroid.
Yeah.
There was one for wormholes where we had to flip it. Well, we never got that one right.
Yeah, I figured that one out.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. It's hectic. There's a lot of yelling.
As the sole Android user in the group here, the one time we played, I've played two or three times now. Two or three different times. We played several games in a row, but I've played two or three times now with these guys. I'm just curious. The last time we played, we had a communications error where it took one of the players like 5 minutes to get the wormhole command. to flip his device. Does that happen often?
I don't know. I've never gotten that back to that level. I played with Aiden, my son Aiden, who's 9, and he got it, but he was confused by the words because they don't make sense, and they don't.
Well, they're not real nonsense words.
So as he's reading them, he's like, I don't understand what this is asking me to do. It says flip this thing, and I don't know what that thing is. So he's still on that very logical mindset. So it didn't work with him. But when we played, you know, it did what it did.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I mean, it was when George was hanging out with us.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just curious, have you seen that happen again?
I've not cut to that level again.
But, I mean, I'm just talking in general.
No. No.
Has it ever unsynced since?
No, I haven't had that problem since then.
Okay, so that's what I was trying to get.
The one thing that I will say is as you play and as you do poorly...
I think the Wi-Fi connection has a lot to do with it. If you don't have a good, strong Wi-Fi connection...
I thought it was played local...
No, it's through the Wi-Fi.
No,
you
have to Wi-Fi.
That would definitely do it. Somebody spikes.
He and I tried to play it one time far away from the Wi-Fi connection... And either it wouldn't pick my character up, or it would push us into the game, and then it would say that one of us lost connection, so it would boot the other person out. So I think having that strong connection on Wi-Fi has a lot to do with what you were talking about.
Well, and as you play the game, and you do worse, and it happens, your panel starts to fall apart. And I mean, like, literally, like, whole sections will just swing down. And goop will come over, and you have to wipe that off. And stuff will catch fire. And
basically, if you've played any of the Wii party games that are just nuts.
Yeah,
that's WarioWare, specifically, on the Wii, is the one I know that has crazy games. This takes it to your iDevice in a whole new level.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I don't have an iDevice, but it's fun. I would recommend it if you have one.
Yeah, get a chance.
Check it out.
So any other apps you guys lately?
Nothing new that I've except all of those apps that you downloaded for my, you know, Xfinity and Comcast.
Yeah, the Xfinity remote is fun. Mostly because I don't have to have a remote, and my mom gets confused when the channel changes for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, when you walk into a room and you're changing something with your iPad and people are watching.
I have to say, Amazon Prime, they have a pretty decent app. Same thing with Hulu. There's an app called Crackle that does instant video. That's pretty solid. I've not had any problem with any of those.
Are you guys on Vine?
I haven't done anything. I don't have the interest in going out and creating 6-second videos. I get why people do it. I like watching them. They're fun because, you know, I have an iOS device.
You do. Yeah, that's...
I'm an elitist, as you'll soon say.
That's... What ticks me off about Vine is that I follow people on Twitter, celebrities and just people in general, and everybody's using Vine videos, and I have an Android, and I can't watch a freaking video. Like, in this day and age, it just seems weird.
It's a matter of
time. And it may be a matter of time before they get it, and that's fine. And I'll get all excited about it when it comes out for Android. But right now, every time I see a Twitter post with Vine in it, I'm just like, God damn it.
Stress.
Yeah.
That was the other thing I downloaded. Marvel Unlimited. Did you see this?
No.
So, Marvel Unlimited is an app directly from Marvel that allows you to access their backlog of comics.
So in other words, you have the Marvel specific Comixology app.
It's not Comixology though.
But it is.
And it's everything that Comixology doesn't have. Literally, they don't carry the same comics as Comixology. You pay $9.99 a month and you have access to everything that is available, and you can just download it. It's free. Once you pay that in $10.
Can you continue to read things if you don't pay?
You can download up to 5 devices to be offline, 5 or 6 devices, or 5 or 6 issues to be offline. So I would assume as long as you keep those
six. So it's a library system.
Yeah. But, like, they've got, like, it's on, like, a 6 months behind kind of thing. But they've got old stuff. And it's just amazing. Like, I was really impressed. However, the interaction for the comic books sucks. The screen is smaller, like the area that it displays the comic is smaller, so that they can put arrows on each side.
Arrows.
Yep. Just to arrows turn the pages. To turn the pages. So it makes all the prints smaller. So whereas I could normally read a comic book on my iPad, I can't
anymore. Your iPad Mini.
My iPad Mini. I can't anymore. I have to zoom it. And it doesn't have guided. It doesn't have guided view like Comixology, which when you can't read a whole page at once, you
guided view. Guided view is nice. I like it. I mean,
well, when you got it on a small device, that's kind of what you have to do.
Oh yes.
So I mean, I get that it's not great. It's not the perfect answer, and I still like a full comic page in front of me.
Is that the app you need to use the augmented reality?
Actually, Comixology. Has
the augmented reality?
I read an issue that I just bought or just got.
Yeah. I think I would be more into Comixology if I could actually get all of Chaos Comics older.
Yeah, Chaos stuff hasn't signed up. Neither Dark Horse is a part of Comixology.
I mean,
which is weird because DC is, and I don't know why they would.
Because they're putting it out themselves. Because why pay Comixology to do it when they can do it themselves?
Are they? I mean, is there an app?
There's a Dark Horse app for iOS. I don't know if it's out on Android or not.
But why? But again, I mean, they're the same company, technically. I don't know how they...
What do you mean?
Dark Horse and DC.
No, they're not. Dark Horse is owned by itself. You thinking of Vertigo?
Oh, you're right.
Or Wildstorm?
I'm an idiot.
Because those Vertigo. Are both... Okay. Yeah, Vertigo. No. Dark Horse, that puts out, like,
there's
Hellboy.
There's another geek card I got.
Hellboy.
Lose.
Right. That was what I was pissed about because that's the other thing. They're putting out stuff on YouTube through their Dark Horse through the Geek and Sundry YouTube channel for Dark Horse.
What is on YouTube? Is video.
Video comics? I don't know. I didn't watch.
Not interested.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm worried that you're talking about motion comics and those suck.
Not any good.
Hate those. Anyway.
So let's move on to kind of movies because I think that's what we got left.
Well,
so, you guys? What did you guys? Movies and TV. What are you guys watching?
I just started. Well, not just. I've been watching the original Star Trek series. We listened to Matt and I listened to a podcast. I don't know. Do you do morning stream?
Occasionally.
Occasionally.
I play songs for it.
Yeah. Scott Johnson, the Frog Pants Network. We're big fans, Matt and I, of that. And on the morning stream every day, they do a Trek Nerd trivia question. A guy named Daryl Steeles gets on there, and somebody writes in a question, and he tries to answer it. It's usually multiple choice. And I was one of those kids that I loved Next Generation and everything that's come since then. I've never watched Enterprise because... I forget when Enterprise ran.
It was like 04.
When it originally aired, I was busy working, so that was my excuse. And I never got into it because I heard it was bad. I never watched the original series because I was one of those kids that didn't like to watch old stuff, in air quotes. but I realized listening to the Trek Nerd that I'm, you know, my Trek experience is not complete. Unless I, you know, watched as much of it as I can. So I'm now working my way.
Are you going to watch the animated series?
Yes.
It's not any good.
No. I tried to watch it.
Did you?
Oh, my gosh.
Surely, what we
Matt
talked
was like,
about.
Oh, have you seen the cartoon? I was like, cartoon? What are you talking
Shirley
about?
Shirley puts on rose-colored glasses. I've said that before on this. She was like, all right, let's watch one. Okay, that wasn't horrible. We watched the second. She's like, okay.
Can we do something else?
Can we watch something, anything else?
Well,
and I'll let you know, my order of awesomeness, and this is without watching the original series, but I'm still going to rank it, is Deep Space Nine at the top, then Enterprise, very, very easily at second, Next Generation, the original series, and Voyager. Now, notice I've not seen the original series. However, I still like it better than Voyager.
So, that's,
Voyager was badly...
No, it wasn't. Voyager was awesome.
I have no problem with Neelix. But the storylines they had for Kes, especially at the end, were so rushed and
pushed. Travel. Yeah, time travel screws everything up.
Oh.
And her... I mean, the idea
of it doesn't.
Psychic powers.
Time travel doesn't screw up everything. Trouble with Tribbles from DS9 was amazing, and it was nothing but time travel. That was awesome.
But that was one episode, and they made time travel. No, actually, that was amazing. Something you should do, if you have Netflix or access to the series, watch the original series,
Trouble with Tribbles.
and then immediately go to DS9 and watch their episode that is titled
Time of Tribbles.
I don't remember. They travel back in time because the same Klingon who caused problems in the original series travels back in time and puts a bomb in a Tribble. Yeah. And his plan is to kill Kirk before he humiliates him. So it's just amazing.
And they tie it together really well. It's some of the best writing in Trek to tie continuity together that they've ever done.
I was really impressed. If you're not a Next Generation and Beyond fan, I mean, you don't even have to like Next Generation specifically. DS9, anything with Worf in it, anything with Klingons in it, is just amazing because the best line is when they walk in, they're in a restaurant on a space station, K7, and the old-style Klingons, who had no ridges, walk in, and all of the DS9 crew look at Worf, and they're like, "What's all that about? That's not a Klingon." And he's like, "We don't talk about it."
Which is funny, because in Enterprise, they explain where those come from.
They do, but that was years later.
In season 4 of Enterprise.
And honestly, had Worf tried to explain what happened to Klingons at that point,
it's way better, because he's like, we just don't talk about that.
And then, of course, you learn that the Klingons waged a genocidal war against the Tribbles.
Yeah.
And when I heard that,
the Tribbles won.
No.
They're still alive.
No, only because they traveled in time with the DS9 crew.
Right, so the Tribbles lost.
They lost originally. The DS9 crew changed history.
Oh.
Or brought them back into existence.
Hold on, isn't that like bringing a virus?
They chose not to explain that to the Time Travel Commission, Department of the Federation. It was funny. It's a great thing.
Yeah, it was really good.
And when I first heard that, like the Klingons committed genocide against the Tribbles, I was like, "You bastards!" But then they explained it's because the Tribbles will literally eat a planet to death.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
horrible, but what are you gonna do?
And yeah, so it's just awesome.
So you've been watching some Star Trek,
yep.
But you need to just sit down and watch Enterprise, all 4 seasons.
It's next on my list as soon as I finish an original series.
You've been watching anything, Shirley?
No, I've been watching just like I guess they're B-rated movies on Amazon Prime. I keep going through our Amazon Prime list on my Fire. And,
like what?
There's one called Lost Tribe.
Is that vampires?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's actually about this archaeological dig, and I believe it's the Amazon. And they come across this quote-unquote like lost tribe, but they're cannibals. So the cannibals, you know, take over the dig site, and you know everybody disappears, and then other people show up, and then it just kind of goes from there, and one girl survives off the island.
That's pretty typical.
And it's I like kind of quirky movies, like B-rated movies like that. They kind of have decent stories. Scripts are horrible most of the time.
Yes.
But, that's what I've been doing. I've been, like, going through my Amazon Prime watch list. I'm trying to think of the other thing I just watched the other day. Oh, Red Planet with
That's not a B-movie. Val Kilmer. It's bad. It's just not it's not technically a B-movie.
Is that the one where the psychotic robot kills everybody?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not spoil anything. However,
well, it's pretty clear it's the robot.
They film sacked it.
But it's also the the life form that comes to life on Mars that kills people too.
Yeah. At the end.
Wow. It's been a while since I watched that.
So
watched Red Planet, Lost Tribe. Recycle. Oh my gosh, I'm getting ready to do a review on this, so I really don't want to like spoil it. But Recycle, it's Japanese. There are what's it called? Bylines? Not bylines. What are they called? When they have like the words. It's in a different language, but
subtitles.
It is subtitled in English. It is a Japanese movie, so. But it was really, really good. And as far as I was concerned, it had a really good script. The acting was really well. And I think it may have been a... I didn't look up any of the stats or anything, but it may have been a really good mainstream Japanese movie in Japan. So...
Okay.
So, but yeah, that's what I've been doing movie-wise.
Okay.
So check out Amazon Prime if you guys get a chance.
Speaking of Amazon Prime, they just put the first 3 seasons of Justified on there, which I had already purchased the first one, but I've been kind of speeding through the second one. I finally got Shirley to sit down. Justified is from FX, the FX network. They have a tendency to put out very violent shows, Sons of Anarchy, The Shield. Lately.
Yeah, I mean, that's been their
like
focus.
Their FX originals are pretty violent movies, violent shows. Justified is violent, but the character is inherently good and doing good, not doing good and also bad.
Like Sons of Anarchy,
and The Shield.
I feel like it's not like I haven't seen The Shield or Sons of Anarchy. I haven't watched them.
You watched part of the first episode of The Shield with me because you didn't want to watch anymore.
Oh yeah, and. It's just ridiculous. For me, it's ridiculous.
It's hyper. It is hyper violent.
Yeah, hyper violent. And I didn't feel like Justified was like that at all.
It still has a lot of the same. The world is kind of dark. Feels to it, but it's the main character is not inherently committing crime.
Well, yeah, that's.
I mean, he does.
That's what it is. He's an actual hero.
He's a hero. He toes sometimes a lot of lines.
Yeah, he sometimes gets. Close to crossing the line, but at the end of the day, he's taking out the bad guy because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah,
and so not because he wants a choice.
Yeah,
well, it's his job, and but he's not doing it to be the to take over his drug empire.
Yeah,
and or so whatever. Like in The Shield,
it stars Timothy Olyphant, who I love. He's amazing. Loved him in Deadwood and. This character is very, very reminiscent of...
Was he in Hitman? Was that him?
Yeah, he was in Hitman. Yeah. This character is very reminiscent of his character in Deadwood. I can't think of the name of the character.
I never got to watch Deadwood.
I see his face.
Yeah. Well, it's because it's still Timothy Olyphant. Yeah. But then it also has Walter Goggins from The Shield. And
Who's he playing?
He's Shane in The Shield. He plays like the guy who grew up with Timothy Olyphant's character in Justified. But turned to crime.
Oh, the nemesis. Yes.
Yeah. So he's really good. And then there's some other people I recognize, but they aren't like huge names that I'm like, oh, well, they've been in these things. But it's a solid, solid series.
Oh,
I've enjoyed every bit of it so far.
I've only watched the first season. We dropped cable and bought a house and haven't gotten cable back.
Well, and they do a really good job. One of the things FX is known for, two things, is the hyper-violent shows, which this is not one of, but they do like cliffhangers every episode or huge reveals. And with The Shield and Sons of Anarchy, sometimes you feel drained and you feel a little wrong for having watched it. With this one, you're like, oh, geez, that happened, and now I need to watch another one or... and I'm glad I'm not watching it as it comes out because this would drive me crazy. But I can't suggest Justified enough. It's on Amazon Prime. You can also get it through iTunes and, I think season 4 is still playing, maybe.
No idea.
It is still playing because they were talking about that the other day on Morningstream. So, I'm also watching Community because I haven't had cable for like 2.5 years.
Yeah, it's been
and
a while.
Even before that, I didn't watch anything regularly. So I'm catching up on Community. Just finished the next to last episode of season 3. So I think I've got one more. And then there's a couple of episodes on season 4. And I haven't watched much else besides that. We watched Jurassic Park when you went in for... While you were getting surgeried... We watched Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And then I watched Independence Day, but that was just to hear the commentary track, and it's Independence Day. Can't go wrong there. So that's that stuff. So,
yeah.
So Johnny.
Yes.
I don't know. couple of months ago when we recorded, you said, well, you were on your
recovery,
you were going to do some art.
Yep.
And that art has been good?
Well, the setback I have is the tablet laptop that my brother bought 5 years ago does not have a powerful processor. It's not a modern piece of technology. However, the program that I'm using, Manga Studio EX, wants to be on a modern piece of technology. So the program and the hardware do not are not fully compatible. It sometimes takes me 5 minutes to switch between tools. If you're familiar at all with Photoshop, Manga Studio is very much like Photoshop, with specifically comic book tools. You can draw a panel and it'll be its own layer on, you know, in a folder, and you know, it's very easy to set yourself up with comic books. It doesn't do the photo editing stuff that Photoshop does, at least as far as I can tell. But I'm on page 4, and it literally, the other day, I finished coloring page 4, started lettering it, and because of the amount of processing that the computer was trying to do, it literally took me 2.5 hours to put one panel's word balloons on. It was all of 4 sentences per character. No, not even that, because that would have been a lot of sentences. Yeah. It was all of 1 or 2 sentences for 2 or 3 characters, and it took me 2.5 hours to do.
Wow.
And I was about ready to shoot myself. So it's going slow, and that sucks. But what I've completed, I'm very happy with. There's only one panel that I kind of am considering redrawing. It's going well, except for the speed is very slow. So I'm really excited about the story. I hope I get to actually finish this project. That's my Achilles heel.
So when are we going to start seeing like just one-shot panels of funny stuff? Because I gave you an idea today.
You did?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Gentleman Kane, or Gentleman Bane.
Well, I don't do one-shot. I don't do the funny. I'm sorry.
I provided the funny. You draw.
Okay. Write it down. Send it to me. It's not my thing. I can't do a daily strip.
I'm not asking.
I'm
daily. I just said when.
You know, I read PvP, PvP Online, Penny Arcade. What else do I check out? I don't have my computer in front of me. I just have a huge list of bookmarks. Menage a Trois is a good comic. It's a little adult. There's nudity.
A little?
Yeah. It's not that bad.
Okay.
There's no genitalia. There's boobs. That's all they ever show. Okay. Although, well, they imply a lot of sex. The first comic has gay sex right on panel, but everything is covered. The very first comic. It's very funny. The artist is very reminiscent of Archie. If you like Archie, Betty and Veronica, Jughead, all that. This comic sort of takes that style out of the 50s and puts it in modern times. The pacing and the storytelling are amazing. Every storyline literally involves 3 people. Like, I realized I was reading a big block of the archives a couple weeks ago, and the story literally involves 3 people every time. Occasionally, 4th and 5th characters will pop in, but they're just tangential to the story. So it's really great. Highly recommended. It's part of a series of other comics that the same writer and artist work on with other people that are, and these comics are safe for work. Magical Cuties is about a bunch of witches that go to school at a monster slaying school, and witches are monsters according to the school, so they're in hiding. That one, there's another. Why am I drawing a blank on this? Anyway, there's a whole series of comics that are interrelated, and it's very good. Menage a Trois is the one I can think of. Magical Cuties is another one. I highly recommend checking out the whole series. There's a lot of backlog material. Some of them are a little harder to get into unless you go through the backlog and read up. The same characters will appear in each of the series, so it's kind of confusing sometimes. But it's good. Okay. I'd recommend checking it out, especially if you're over 18, because Menage a Trois is adult.
Okay. So, anything else, guys? I think that about wraps it up. So,
nothing that I can think of.
Thank you for...
I did pick up that book, but I can't remember what it was called. The H.P. Lovecraft-based cartoon book.
The one you just picked up today?
Yeah.
Quadeth?
Where did it go?
I don't know. We moved everything. So awesome. we'll make sure that we talk about it when we record our next What You Doing. Yeah. So this has been our version of what we're doing and talking about that. Stuff that we're not necessarily reviewing for the website, but stuff that we're still doing and experiencing that we want you guys to know about. We will have a podcast next weekend covering G.I. Joe Retribution. We're going to do a review kind of the same weekend it comes out. And then 2 weeks from this weekend, we're going to do a summer movie draft where we bid on and purchase the movies and then use them like racehorses. And whoever finishes with the most money from the gross domestic, they will win the prize. And I haven't talked to the other people in it, but there will be some sort of wager or prize involved.
Yeah, and hope so that more than bragging rights.
There's got to be more than bragging rights. So, yeah. So we've got podcasts coming up. There's plenty of stuff coming out from us. So check the website, www.nerdsdom.com. And then, of course, you can catch us on Twitter. It's at Nerdsdomain. I'm at Quiet, Q-U-I-E-T-T.
Johnny, you got the last name?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Guess who doesn't get it? Everybody else. Yeah. Johnny is at Fool's Mask. And Shirley, I'm not sure what hers is, because hers is all very related to her real world job.
Yeah,
but she does. It's related to her real world job, so it's kind of...
Well, the only posts I see from you are
my
you.
First initial partial last name.
You can also check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdsdomain. We're kind of updating there now again, so check that out. Hopefully we'll talk to you guys. You get to hear us soon. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at nerdsdomain@gmail.com.